This is Cover 2, a podcast on the Cleveland Browns.
Hit! Browns are going to win!
Mayfield, Enzone, Landry, touchdown!
With Dan Kadar and Browns beat writer Nate Ulrich of the Akron Beacon Journal and Ohio.com. With Steve Dorshuk from the Canton Repository.
It's intercepted! Picked off by Denzel Ward!
Chubb will take this all the way! 92 yards!
Ready, Browns fans. Now, Cover 2, a podcast on the Cleveland Browns.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the podcast. This is Dan Kadar, joined as always by Browns beat writer Nate Ulrich. As always, our podcast is brought to you by USA Today Sports Plus. It's the new app from our friends over at USA Today. It puts the fans first. It's really cool. It's really fun. And like I said, it's brand new. So check out USA Today Sports Plus on the Apple Store and the Google Play Store. So, Nate, we have a fair amount to talk about in a short amount of time. We have some Browns injury stuff to get to. Like I said on last week's podcast, I want to play the schedule game to kind of reassess where the Browns are at as they sit at 4-3 after their mini bye after playing Thursday night. And we'll see what else we can get into. But, Nate, we do have to start with the newsworthy stuff, and that's any kind of turn of the screw on Baker Mayfield and where he stands when it comes to this seemingly increasingly bad shoulder injury that he has. Like every time it seems like something pops up, it's something worse and worse with his shoulder, whether it's the labrum's fully torn. Now it's been reported that he has this fracture in his shoulder. So, Nate, where do things stand with Baker Mayfield? Do you think he should play against the Steelers on Sunday? Is he in line to play? What's the status on Baker Mayfield right now?
Well, I think right now, as we record on Tuesday morning, that the latest points to him not playing just because he wasn't out there on the practice field Monday, and that's a step back. The last time the Browns practiced was the Tuesday preceding the Thursday night football game against the Broncos, and he practiced that Tuesday. And at that time, he expected to play. And I think what's fascinating, and I'm like hammering this point home, and I'm banging the table for it because I think it's very noteworthy and interesting. By Tuesday, 2 days before the Browns beat the Broncos, the Browns doctors had all the scans, the MRIs. They knew all the latest about Mayfield's shoulder. They had known for weeks about the completely torn labrum. They knew about the fraying. They knew about the fracture that you know was a more recent development, as it's been explained. It sounds like, you know, when more damage was done, when Mayfield dislocated the shoulder again, we know the original injury was in week 2, September 19th against the Houston Texans. That was the completely torn labrum. That was the fraying. And the way Mayfield explained it is more damage was done when he dislocated again week 6, October 17th against the Arizona Cardinals, of course, on the J.J. Watt sack. He gets tripped up, crashes to the ground, dislocates that left shoulder again, and that's when the more damage was done. And the more damage, as he revealed to Jay Glazer, was the fracture. So that's where it all stands. But my point being that Tuesday before the Broncos game, the Browns medical people knew all about this. They knew about everything, all of the above, the fracture included. The Browns still had him practicing on that Tuesday, and not only practicing, but taking all of the first team reps. That's confirmed by Kevin Stefanski. Now, the significance of that is if they're giving him all the first team reps 2 days before a game, they're planning to start him. Okay. So what happened between that time when they gave him all the first team reps and Thursday night football? Well, they rule him out on Wednesday and announced that Case Keenum would start in his place. And then Keenum got the walkthrough reps on Wednesday. He didn't even get any first team reps in a real practice preceding that game. So my understanding is Baker went out and he practiced. He took all those first team reps Tuesday. The shoulder did not respond well. A lot of swelling, a lot of inflammation, a lot of pain, okay? And they shut it down. So for that to happen, and then for Monday, meaning yesterday, October 25th to roll around, and him not be on the practice field again, to me, if we're doing like stock up, stock down on his chances of playing, the latest is stock down. He took a step back by not practicing. So we'll see tomorrow, Wednesday, when they resume practice. Tuesday, of course, that's the off day on a normal work week for the Browns. But if he practices on Wednesday, then we're going to know that he has a chance, that the chance is still alive to face the Steelers on Halloween. If he doesn't practice Wednesday, then all signs will continue to point to Case Keenum getting a second consecutive start. So really tomorrow is going to be a crucial day in the decision-making process, and we'll know a lot more then. In terms of if he should play, you know, that's a tough one because, you know, I only have sliver of information, and the medical people and Baker are going to know a lot more, but I would still, I guess, I just kind of like the idea of erring on the side of caution with this because, you know, I think that, you know, with Baker, he's your quarterback. Like, there's no debate. There's no quarterback controversy. People might want to create one in terms of fans, media, whatever. It's all BS. Baker Mayfield is the Browns quarterback, okay? And when he's healthy, he is going to start. Case Keenum is a really nice backup. They're paying him accordingly. And he came in and played the way that they needed him to against the Broncos. And the plan of having a well-paid, very experienced veteran who's familiar with the head coach and well-versed in the system that the head coach uses on offense paid off brilliantly the other night. But Baker Mayfield is the quarterback. And if you want to be what you think you can be, if you want to reach your potential as a team this season, in this year of great expectations, you need to have Baker Mayfield to do it. So that's why I just kind of err on the side of caution. If the medical experts say, hey, you know, more rest, swelling goes down, and that allows him to do more exercises in rehab to strengthen the area around that torn labrum and keep the shoulder a little more stabilized. So when we put that harness on it and he's running around out there, it's less likely to just slip out on non-contact plays the way it did after the J.J. Watt sack. That's an important note. You know, obviously dislocated when he came crashing down to the ground against the Cardinals on that October 17th game. But also, Mayfield said later, it slipped out just on a non-contact play. So that's, I think, what the point that would be really great if they could get to, where Mayfield's able to get the swelling down, get the pain manageable, and he's tough and can handle a lot of it, but you obviously want to reduce that as much as he can, and then can he strengthen that shoulder so it's just not slipping out when he's running around, and it would take another big hit or fall for it to happen. And of course, you don't want that to happen, but that's, you know, that's the point you're trying to get, where it's just not slipping out on its own, I think. And with the harness, you know, and the rehab, maybe you can get to that point. Obviously, they expect him to be able to come back this season, and we'll see where it goes from there. But we're kind of in this holding pattern right now, and we'll know a lot more on Wednesday.
Man, it's so tough because all of that is kind of assuming, isn't it, that he doesn't get hit. You know, it seems like he's in a situation where, yeah, he can strengthen everything around the torn labrum, but the labrum is still torn.
So yeah, absolutely. I'm talking about getting back on the field. Once he gets back on the field, it's like play by play, snap by snap. Is he going to be able to avoid the big hit? Is he going to be able to avoid falling on it? So once he works his way back onto the field, which is what he fully intends to do, what he wants to do, and the Browns seem to be on board with that right now. It's just a matter of when it's going to happen. But once he gets back, yeah, we're all going to be on pins and needles, just keeping an eye on, is he going to be able to avoid that next big blow or fall that could be season ending?
Well, good luck with that, because the Browns have T.J. Watt twice playing the Steelers. They have Max Crosby of the Raiders. Rashawn Gary of the Packers is a monster. And we'll get into the schedule more later. But good luck with this guy not getting hit and just re-injuring or getting it somehow getting worse. I don't know what's left in his shoulder at this point that could get worse. But, man, that's a tough and risky proposition if you want to play this guy and kind of go snap by snap and see what happens. And that's assuming nothing happens in practice, nothing happens in pregame, him warming up, anything. It's so he could slip on the ice walking around downtown Cleveland. You know, it's so like extremely touch and go and weird to me.
it is.
I don't know. I don't know, man. Like, this injury is so severe, and I feel like it's being a little bit like downplayed just because it's his left arm instead of his right. And it's a serious, serious injury is all.
It is serious, but I also think that it's one that he thinks he can play through and that the Browns think he can play through. And they haven't put him on IR yet. And that could happen still. But if they thought right away that it was serious, again, they had all the information. They knew about the fracture. They knew about the completely torn labrum. They knew about the frame. They knew about other things that we probably haven't learned yet that haven't been publicly disclosed. They know what's going on in that shoulder, and they still put him out there on a Tuesday and gave him all the first team reps. I can't get past that. To me, that tells me that based on the medical information at the time, and that's everything I just mentioned that was revealed in those scans, that they thought it's something he could play through that could be managed. Now, in terms of him not getting hit, whatever, of course he's going to get hit. He's going to fall, whatever. It's just a matter of it's right on that shoulder, that whatever needs to happen for it to dislocate again. And then is that the end, or can it be managed beyond another dislocation? And I don't know the answer to that, and I don't think they know. It probably depends on the severity and everything, you know, exactly how it hit or whatever the angle is of the hit and or the fall. But in terms of the one hit away, just devil's advocate, you could say that about any NFL player.
Sure. That's true. And that's a good point. They just don't seem quite as fragile as Baker Mayfield is right now.
Sure, sure. No, you're right. I mean, this is and I don't want to ever anyone think that I'm downplaying this. I'm just trying to look at it from the vantage point of Baker and the team. And it seems like right now everybody still wants to give this thing a go. It's just a matter of when.
Yeah. How much will having Jack Conklin back at right tackle help things? Do you think that factors into their decision on Baker Mayfield at all? Or is it just different player, different position? Doesn't really matter.
I think it's a combination. Now, I think first and foremost, it's the medical stuff, right? Are the doctors saying that he's, you know, getting their blessing and approval to go out there and try to play through this with the harness and everything and, you know, has the swelling come down, all that stuff. Like, that is first and foremost. And then beyond that, as a coaching staff, you know, and Kevin Stefanski obviously leading the way, you have to think about how well can you protect him? Can we get the ball out quick? Can we, you know, can we lean on the quick passing game like they did in Houston and Chicago, like when that dislocation was pretty fresh? You know, can that be a thing? And then obviously the protection, and certainly with your starting tackles back, you're feeling better than otherwise. And, you know, in this past game, you only had Jedrick Wills back. But in, you know, Jack Conklin returned to practice on Monday. He looked good to me. I saw him firing out under a sled, hitting guys, not under a sled, but under the chute that makes the linemen stay low, or, you know, you hit your head on this big metal bar. He was firing out under that, driving guys, and, you know, he looked really good. And you know, kind of a separate note, the other big-time player who we all know and I'm sure fans are interested to hear that he was back yesterday is Nick Chubb. He came back in practice, also got a chance to see him go through individual drills, looked good. Both those guys, in my mind, look like they're going to be ready to roll against the Steelers. So obviously two of the best players on offense back. So yeah, I think that it's all about medical, Dan, just to reiterate, to start, that conversation and decision-making process. But then you have to look at other factors too, and it all centers around how well Baker can protect himself and how well his supporting cast can protect him.
Yeah, I'm still extremely antsy about the whole thing, but we'll see what happens going forward. Again, like Nate said earlier, we're recording this on Tuesday morning.
Well, hey, I mean, I've been doing this with you for a long time, and I respect your opinion. Would you shut him down for the season? What are you thinking?
Boy, that's a heck of a question. That's the $40 million question, isn't it?
I know, but you're antsy, so I'm trying to. And I mean, I get it, but like, because I'm kind of where the mindset is, they want him to give it a go, and then if something happens in season ending, then you know he's going to get it addressed, and he'll be back next season. And it'll be a hard off season, and it'll be a one full of, you know, overcoming obstacles, but that's the nature of coming back as a pro athlete. I'm just wondering if you would start that process now rather than wait.
Yeah, I think I would, based on a few things. Number one, you have Case Keenum and Nick Mullins, by the way. So you're in a pretty good spot with your backups, and you're in a great spot in what this team really, quite honestly, asks their quarterback to do. I'm not saying the Browns don't need a franchise quarterback, but Case Keenum is the kind of backup that can manage this offense well enough. When you have Nick Chubb, you have a plethora of weapons at the receiver positions and tight end, and you have a good offensive line that's coming back into health. So, but my lean would be yes, to sit Baker Mayfield and just get the process going, because a torn labrum is such a severe injury that everything I've seen, it said 4 to 6 months, right? So if you take that on the long end and you prolong this into after the season, when do you get Baker Mayfield back? You know, does he miss training camp next year? And that brings up problems in and of itself. So I think, Nate, that I'm leaning toward just going with Case Keenum. What are your thoughts about that then?
Well, I know the way you set it up, like, because you created a universe in which you're not punting the season by doing that. But I kind of wonder if you are. Like, could they get to the playoffs with Case
Keenum? Is Case Keenum that bad?
No, I don't think he's that bad, but I just don't think you can. And I know we went to the NFC Championship game with the Vikings and Stefanski as his position coach in 2017, but I don't know. I mean, some time has passed since then, and it's hard for me to get my mind around the idea that they can really, you know, get where they want to go and reach their goal and you know, of a deep playoff run with Case Keenum at quarterback. And you know, maybe this will play out and he will take him there, and I'll say, wow, I was wrong. He still has the magic that he had 5 years ago, but it's hard for me to believe. And if it doesn't happen, you know, because Baker goes out, tries to give it a go and gets hurt again, has to be shut down for the season, get the surgery, start the rehab process, then, you know, it just wasn't meant to be. I mean, we know you have to be good in the NFL. And you also have to be lucky in the NFL to you know, make that deep playoff run, to get to the conference championship games, and certainly to get into the Super Bowl. Those were the type of expectations the Browns had, and I think still have. But, you know, you're certainly not lucky if your starting quarterback gets hurt and you have to shut him down, you know, midway through the season or whatever, or even late in the season. So, you know, if it happens, then it's just not meant to be, and I get it. But right now, I'm still thinking that it might be premature to say, let's just look at 2022. Because the collection of talent that you're going to have isn't going to be the same. You know, Odell and Jarvis going to be on the same team next season? Seems unlikely to me. So, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's, I think if you can do, if you can give it a shot, I think it's, of course, it, everything is contingent on the medical expert saying that it's okay to give it a shot, that he's not going to damage his shoulder in a way that would be, you know, detrimental to his long-term health, his long-term future as your franchise guy, you know, that, that it's something that's going to be repaired either way. And, you know, the severity of the surgery or the injury and the invasiveness of the surgery may increase, but the risk is worth the reward. If that's the feedback you get, and I think you get, let him give it a shot. I don't know. I mean, it is a tough question. His contract situation is in the backdrop of everything, as we discussed before. You know, I do know that there have been no talks, that that remains status quo. There have been no talks to this point. And obviously, with him hurt, you don't expect him to start anytime soon, especially if he can't get back on the field and, you know, move things forward that way in at all. So we'll see. I mean, there's a lot riding on it. It's very interesting, but I'm just, I don't know. Maybe I'm kind of a step behind here, but reluctant to give up on 2021 the way the Browns envisioned it.
I don't think it's giving up on 2021 is all. So that's where our disconnect between you and I is. And
right. I get that. Like, how far do you think they can go with Case Keenum?
I think they can go why are you asking me tough
questions? Do you think that they have an equal chance to go to the AFC Championship with Case Keenum as they would with Baker Mayfield? Like a functional Baker Mayfield? Like, if so, then why do you need Baker Mayfield? Like, you know what I mean? Because earlier you said you didn't think that, you weren't saying they don't need a franchise quarterback. So, like,
yeah,
that's just the part I'm having a hard time wrapping my mind around.
Well, like I said, that's the $40 million question. Do you need this franchise quarterback on this team the way the offense is run and built?
I mean, it's the NFL. I think you need a franchise quarterback if you want to win championships. I think, I don't care what offense.
Yes. But talking about 2021 and the expectation of, can you make the AFC Championship game with Case Keenum? I think the way the AFC is playing out this year, I think you can make the AFC Championship game with Case Keenum. The AFC has a lot of really good teams. Buffalo is still good. The Chargers are really good. Kansas City is always going to be a threat. But I still think with Case Keenum, even though the Browns have lost to the Chargers and the Chiefs already this year, I think Case Keenum can still beat those teams if this Browns team can have the level of health that it has going into this Pittsburgh game, for instance, you know, where you have Nick Chubb, where you have your two starting offensive tackles. So, to answer your question in a roundabout way, I do think that Case Keenum can lead the Browns to an AFC championship. Can he lead them to the Super Bowl? I don't know. You know, obviously, if he can lead them to the AFC championship, anything would be up in the air at that point, you know, making the Super Bowl. But just to make that step forward, from where you were last year to this year as the Browns, yes, I happen to think that Case Keenum can get you there. He's not going to be a star. He's not going to be a 300-yard-a-game passer. But he's just a really good functional game manager. That's all.
I think we found our headline. Listen, like, I don't want anybody to think this is me coming to – across his disrespectful Case Keenum, because he has made the conference championship as a starting quarterback, on 11-3 in the regular season in 2017 and 1-1 in the playoffs, and that loss was the conference championship. So he has done it It's just hard for me to believe that it's going to happen again this year as a 33-year-old. You know, what does that mean anyway? I mean, you know, whatever. Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady throw water on that argument right away about age. But, you know, I just time has passed since then, and I guess I kind of got to see a little more to start believing what you're believing right now, Dan. But
yeah, that's fair.
I can't dismiss it as real as a potential reality because it has happened. So I'm just a little more skeptical at this stage.
Yeah. Look, I think that's a fair thing to go. I'm just so concerned about Mayfield's injury and how that's going to affect him. But anyway, Nate, I do want to play the schedule game with you quickly because the Browns are coming off this mini bye, and it quite frankly, it just kind of leads into what we were just talking about a little bit. So,
well, big Browns time. Who's the quarterback for this schedule game?
Well, yeah, I know which way I'm leaning on the quarterback thing. I guess you'll have to answer that yourself internally, maybe. But the Browns have 10 games left on the schedule. They're 4-3. We don't have to go through game by game by game because that's boring and dumb. But like I said, 4-3, 10 games left. You have a bye right in the middle of those 10 games in week 13. And the Browns have not played an AFC North team yet. So, Nate, looking at the rest of this schedule, where do you think the Browns can get to in terms of a record? And is it good enough to make the playoffs even? Because you have to make the playoffs before you can talk about getting to the AFC Championship game or the Super Bowl. So schedule game it. Where are the Browns in your mind after 17 games?
Well, first of all, I had them at 12-5 before the season when I played the schedule game and came up with a prediction. And
yes,
I'm resetting things and doing it again with the idea that they may have Case Keenum against the Steelers. And I think they can win. I do think they can win this week, first of all, on Halloween. I'm just, you know, but looking long term, I am in my universe imagining Baker Mayfield comes back and is functional. Again, that's imagination. We'll see. So I've got them 7-3 the rest of the way. I think that they can get there. I think that they can split with the Bengals and the Ravens. I've got them losing at Green Bay on Christmas. And I originally thought that they were going to be losing to the Raiders, and the Raiders are 5-2, so why would I change it? I don't know. The John Gruden thing's still weird to me. Obviously, the whole thing was weird, but I just mean losing your coach in that matter of controversy in the middle of the season. Not sure how this team is going to kind of weather that as the season progresses. So that's kind of the one that's really weird to me, and maybe I should be picking it as a loss still. Right now I have it as a win. If I do it that way, I get to 11-6. So with the seven teams from each conference, I'm thinking 11-6. You know, obviously you would be able to get them in there in my world. 11-5 last year got them into the playoffs. But here's the kind of the weird thing in my schedule game, Dan. The Bengals are good, right?
Yes,
they're the top seed in the AFC right now. So in my universe, the Bengals keep it rolling, and then the Browns get to the finale, the 17th regular season game. It's week 18 for the first time in the NFL. And the Browns, you know, they have 10 wins, but they got to get that 11th win or whatever to get in a competitive AFC. And they're in the same situation they were in last year, where the opponent in the finale has things wrapped up for the playoffs. Like the Steelers rested Ben Roethlisberger, TJ Watt, and some other key players in that finale. And the Browns eked out a win at home to get into the playoffs. They needed it. It was a win and in situation. I could see the same exact thing happening where they don't play the full Bengals squad and they need a win and in. And so in my little schedule game here, my imaginary world, I've got them getting in 11-6 that way.
I am just about the same same way as you. I went 12-5 at the start of the year. I'm looking at 11-6. I think you're right. The Browns had to go 4-2 in the division. So that to me means sweeping the Steelers, which would start Sunday, which I think they can do with Case Keenum, my guy now. And the Bengals, I did not think the Bengals would be this good this year. I watched them destroy the Ravens on Sunday, and the Bengals, it does not look like a flash in the pan. Here's a team that's picking off a couple games here and there as a surprise. They look really good. I mean, they spent a buttload of money the last 2 years on their defense. Joe Burrow, as long as he's healthy, he's special. He's going to be in this elite group of quarterbacks, I think, maybe by the end of the year. And Ja'Marr Chase, who I didn't think they should have taken in the first round, the wide receiver from LSU, he is great. Like, he does everything really well. I think you split with the Bengals, split with the Ravens. It would be ideal if somehow you could go 3-1 against Cincinnati and Baltimore, but I don't think the Browns can do that. And then, man, I'm glad you pointed out the Week 18 game against the Bengals. That could be a play-in game. That game's at 1:00 right now. I think that could get flexed to Sunday night. You might be hanging out with Al Michaels at First Energy Stadium for that one. And then the Week 15 game against the Raiders is the other big one. It's like you said, the Raiders are 5-2. They're such a weird team because of the Gruden stuff. They've been 2-0 since he quote-unquote resigned. I haven't watched a ton of the Raiders. I know they have a good passing offense, and they might be able to stick around, but that to me is one of the pressure point games of the rest of the season for the Cleveland Browns, Week 15 against the Raiders. If they lose that game, then you're in a situation, I think, where the Browns would have to win out in Week 16 through 18. You have at Green Bay, at Pittsburgh, and then home against the Bengals. That is tough. So I agree with you. 11-6. Is 11-6 still a playoff season this year, Nate?
I think it is.
Yeah, I think it's right there, right on the cusp.
Yeah.
Because nobody ever talks about what happens in the AFC South. The Colts, if Carson Wentz kind of sticks around and plays decently, that's a team to watch out for. And then the West, the Raiders, Chargers, Chiefs, and Broncos. Maybe not the Broncos, but all of the three top teams there, they could all push hard for a playoff spot. You know, one of the worst things I think for the Browns right now is the Chiefs only being 3-4.
Yeah.
So they're going to be jostling with the Browns for one of these potentially wild card spots. So that's tough. That's real tough. And the Browns do not have the advantage on them in terms of head to head. So.
And one of the worst things we do in talking and writing sports is if the season were to end today, well, the season's not ending today, but
right.
The Browns are the 7th seed right now. The 7th and final seed at 4-3. The Steelers are right behind them at 3-3. This is a huge game, not just because of that, but obviously the first AFC North game, the Browns have 6 of their final 10 in the division. You know, that was the storyline. Other than once you got past the fact that they were playing the Chiefs in a rematch of the divisional round playoff game in week one, once you get past that headline, the real schedule story was the way that the Browns were backloaded with division games starting on Halloween with the Steelers.
Yep. Yeah. So your feeling for the Steelers game is a Browns win. Do you have a score?
23-20. I'm going with Chase McLaughlin staying red hot and lifting them in a kind of a dramatic thriller on Halloween.
When are we going to get the comprehensive Chase McLaughlin story? Everyone likes this guy. I don't know anything about him.
Well, I guess I got to get on that. That's a great point. Yeah, I mean, he's been outstanding.
Yeah, he has been. I don't shriek in fear when he takes the field is the best way I can describe what I think of Chase McLaughlin, which is an extremely high compliment for a kicker. I think the Browns win as well. I haven't looked at the weather to see if this is a weird weather game. I'm going to go 17-14 in just a classic AFC Central kind of mash fest, and Nick Chubb is your hero of the day, returning triumphantly in front of his home fans. Give me a big Nick Chubb run. One of those ones that's like the mini beast quake kind of run for Cleveland. That's what I want.
I think the perfect ending would be Nick Chubb running in another no moss situation where he goes down or runs out of bounds the way he did last year when he ripped off the huge run and then ran out of bounds at the one. It just epitomized everything about Nick Chubb. Team over self, and a huge reason, along with his talent, obviously, but a huge reason that character and that commitment to, you know, doing the right thing. That's a huge reason why he got that contract extension.
Mm-hmm. Nate, I do want to mention this before we get out of here, and I'm sorry to keep you, but we don't have to get into specifics or predictions or anything like that. But the NFL trade deadline is November 2nd at 4 p.m. So we're just about exactly a week out as we record this. Do you think the Browns will be players in any fashion? Because I'm starting to think that no, they will not. I think before the JOK injury, you could have made an argument that they could get something for Mac Wilson. But I don't think you can, if you're the Browns, you can take that risk by moving Mac Wilson at this point. Do you think the Browns will be active at the trade deadline this year?
Never say never. I mean, Andrew Berry wants to be known for aggression. Got to always keep that in mind. But, you know, if I had to bet, I'd say no. I think you make a great point. Like, Mac Wilson would be a candidate that they could move, you know. But JOK high ankle sprain, out 4 to 6 weeks. So I think that you probably want to hold on to your linebackers right now. And I couldn't have said it better. David Njoku, another guy at one time, you thought, well, you know, are they going to trade him? What's going on? Yep. You know, this is so weird, blah, blah, blah. Had a huge game a couple weeks ago. You know, I think they saw him kind of, you know, live up to the potential that they thought he could have for a long, long time. Andrew Berry involved with that draft back in 2017 that got him late in the first round. I don't think they'll trade him. So, you know, Odell, you know, you'll hear Odell speculation because, you know, the production just hasn't been the consistent elite level that you think, you know, when you hear OBJ's name, what he did with the Giants, the way he took the lead storm early on. And, you know, that's a hell of a salary.
Gotta have a buyer.
Yeah, I mean, is that realistic for somebody to trade for that contract? I think $15.75 million with bonuses and everything, and not that the acquiring team would necessarily pay all of it, but that would be a very complicated, difficult deal. So I just don't see any of those guys getting moved. You know, do the Browns do something minor to, you know, bring in another offensive tackle or a defensive end, something along those lines? Maybe. But I basically am just coming down where you are, Dan, and saying it's not likely.
Yeah. And if you look at the Browns draft capital that they have to trade, assuming they don't have a player that can be moved, they only have an extra pick in the fourth round in 2022. So that came from Detroit. So I don't see this front office willingly giving up draft capital for for a rental player or a backup or something like that. So I think you're right. Maybe offensive tackle or defensive end are the spots to keep your eyes and ears open on, but we'll see. Again, the trade deadline is next Tuesday at 4 p.m. Election day. So yay, election night. Nate, do you have anything else this week before we head out?
Will you be just resting up? Shout out to De'Ernest Johnson. And what a way for him to step up, and what a great story. I think some people look at that and say, well, the Browns have two of the top five running backs in the NFL. De'Ernest Johnson isn't going to have a job ahead of those guys. And that's true if everyone's healthy. But Kareem Hunt's going to be out. You know, even Kevin Stefanski, who doesn't reveal much, said that it is in the ballpark of 4 to 6 weeks for Kareem Hunt to come back from that calf injury. Great news that you're expecting to get him back late in the season, because you're going to need your top guys if you want to make a run at the playoffs and into the playoffs and succeed. But, you know, you're going to need De'Ernest Johnson. The way this offense is built, you know, you're going to have when Nick Chubb coming back, you're going to have, instead of Chubb and Hunt, you're going to have Chubb and De'Ernest Johnson is that 1-2 punch. And so I don't think it's like, oh, well, De'Ernest Johnson just broke out on national TV, now we're going to be able to get a draft pick for him. Like, no, I don't see that either. So just wanted to piggyback on that trade thought with De'Ernest Johnson, because I do hear some of that, some, you know, speculation from fans or questions about it from fans. And I think that's a luxury that when you're built like the Browns, and let's face it, the bad weather's coming. Like, you're going to be leaning on this running game more than ever as the weeks unfold, and especially if Case Keenum's your guy, for an extended time. So I don't see De'Ernest Johnson going anywhere. I think he's going to let his he's going to be given a chance to let his really good and kind of inspiring story unfold here for the season.
That's well said. Will you be in costume for the Steelers game on Halloween night and in the press box?
No, not quite. But I've already dressed up for Halloween, so I'm way ahead of you.
So you have a costume that you could dress up with.
Yeah, so my kids, we typically just have, you know, we do a little fun with them, and, you know, they're young. And so my one daughter was the Good Witch from Wizard of Oz. I know she has a name, is it Belinda or, I don't know, something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
And then the other one was Dorothy. And then I was the wizard, which consisted of was a bow tie and like a green sweater.
Wonderful.
And a top hat that we had from another costume. So I was getting confused, like, and all we did was, like, we were just hanging out as a family, like, you know, we're not going to any Halloween bashes or anything like that. But pictures were taken, and I was accused of being Abe Lincoln and things like that, but I was actually the wizard. So I'm all set. I think I've done my my duty.
All right. Well, that's a letdown. If you change your mind, we need to see pictures or, you know, whatever on Twitter of you dressed up in the First Energy press box. I know you.
I mean, that would be boring. What I am excited to see is what Myles Garrett's going to do. I think the player kind of the, you know, I think it's so funny how the, you know, social media and NFL pro sports have evolved, where, like, the players walking into the tunnel now is like the red carpet, right?
Yes.
It's like a red carpet before an award show for the actors and musicians or whatever, the artists. And, like, now that's the way it is for the NFL, like, where guys plan their outfits to walk into the tunnel so they can photograph and videotape. And I could not care less about any of that. However, the exception will be the Halloween games coming up, because I think there'll be some fun costumes for the walk-ins. And I think Myles Garrett is going to have something fun, because he, you know, kind of said, you know, he planned to dress up when we got to interview him about what a Halloween enthusiast he is, so much so that he has that quarterback graveyard in his front yard in Medina County.
Yeah. If our pal Jeff Lang is shooting the game on Sunday for the Beacon, I might have to tell him to work the red carpet then and see what he can get for us, because I now I want to see it too. So I think that's going to do it, Nate. We plan on doing a short one. We did our standard long one. So that said, that's going to do it for Cover 2 this week. The Browns injury stuff is going to be updated every day. So follow along with all that over at beaconjournal.com/sports/Browns. There's going to be a ton of news coming out throughout the week from Nate and our crew. So check that out. Make sure you're following Nate on Twitter. He's at @ByNateUlrich again. Please download the USA Today Sports Plus app on the Apple Store and the Google Play Store. And rate and subscribe to our podcast on whatever platform you find us on. So that's going to do it for Cover 2 this week. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We will talk to you next time.